We're certainly not going to impose a ban. There are huge concerns about the local economies of towns and cities if you suddenly start taking diesel cars off the road.
BBC correspondent Jenny Hill reporting from Hamburg. President Trump reached an informal deal to provide the next generation Air Force Ones. A spokesman says the $3.9 billion fixed-price contract for the new planes will save taxpayers more than $1.4 billion. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to We're a Little Behind. I'm Chris Gomez.
And I'm Jen Gomez.
With all good things come to an end.
That's true.
But not our show.
Not yet.
This is not, everything has a series finale. Not our show, but we are going to be talking about series finales.
Yes.
Although next week we're probably not going to be on the air.
This is true. And that's because we have too much preparation for our annual Oscar extravaganza.
Exactly. And then a couple days later, I got to go out of town for a business trip when I normally broadcast the show.
Right.
So it's just a lot of stuff not happening.
A lot of stuff. But we're here now. We're on the air. And we are going to talk about series finales, the ones we liked, the ones we hated, and alternate endings that Chris has written himself.
Yeah, like, it sounds like I do fan fiction, which is not the case.
No, it's not the same thing.
What I would have liked to have seen.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
One of them, a lot of series finales are very polarizing amongst fans, is the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Shows, like one of my favorite shows, How I Met Your Mother, is a very polarizing ending.
It is. It's usually listed among, like, the worst TV finales, and that's just not fair.
Highly unfair. We're going to tell you now, if you plan to have seen any of these shows that we're talking about and you haven't seen them yet, these are huge spoilers.
And we're just going to lay them out.
Yeah, we're just talking about it like as if you as if you have watched these shows. Yeah.
So if you haven't watched the shows and you don't want to get spoiled, then maybe fast forward a little bit.
Yeah.
Or, you know, still watch the show, because even our talking about it, we're not going to be talking about any shows that are bad. Even if the finales we don't care for, the shows are still really good, which is why a bad finale is so terrible.
But How I Met Your Mother is a prime example, because in it, the entire premise of the show is you learn who the mother is.
Right. So,
and in the finale, the final season, you learn who the mother is. And at the end, you find out that after they've had kids and they've had a life together, the mother dies,
mm-hmm.
and he goes on to try to be with Robin.
Right. Who was there throughout the entire series.
And I was okay with this because this is what the show writers had planned.
Mm-hmm.
They said from the get-go that they had an idea in mind. They knew how the show was going to end. With it ending, they already had it planned that way. So I'm good with that. My thing that I said I would have liked, because the finale was an hour long.
Yeah.
And I think it should have been about an hour and a half long. They should have incorporated Robin and the mother being better friends,
mm-hmm.
because I feel that if they would have shown that aspect of it, like, because I feel like she would have been cool with the fact that Ted and Robin maybe finally getting together.
Yeah, they planned it from the beginning, and that is evident in the fact that the whole series, Ted is telling the story to his children, and they're sitting on the couch. Well, those two kids, you know, they were teenagers when this happened. Once the show was over, they were a lot older than they were in the beginning of the series. And so they actually filmed that part long before.
They filmed it in the first season.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is
8 years later.
And if you've watched the series, it was a natural ending for it.
Mm-hmm.
Because the mother was not in the story. And, you know, this was How I Met Your Mother. So he tells them his entire history, his entire life story, which is centered around Robin. And, you know, sometimes he dates her and then they break up and then they want different things, but they still have this connection to each other that can't be broken.
And the kids are like, she comes over, she has dinner with us, you know, mom's been gone for 5 years and we think you'd be great together. And obviously the story about how you met mom is pretty much just telling us about how you like Robin.
Right.
Yeah.
And the kids were, and really the point of him telling the story was to try to get his children's approval,
mm-hmm.
which they gave full-heartedly. They're like, look, and it's not like, oh, your mom died and now 20 minutes later, I'm going to go hit that. It's been 5 years.
Right.
They spent time. It's not that Tracy, his wife, was not a because Tracy was the love of his life.
Oh, yeah.
And she was his soulmate. But unfortunately, circumstances are what they are, and he only had a limited time with her. And now it's time for him to move on and be happy. And he had everything he wanted, because part of one of the reasons him and Robin never worked is that Robin didn't want a family. Well, he had his family. He had his wife. He had his children. And now they've grown up, and now he can just have a relationship.
Well, and she's
just
great
them.
With his kids, too,
oh, yeah.
Like they even said. And the fact is that she didn't want kids of her own, but then she couldn't have kids.
And then she realized, that, you know, now the choice is no longer hers.
Mm-hmm.
But she loved those kids.
Yeah, so it worked out well. I loved it. I think it was a terrible injustice for people to say that it was not a good finale.
Mm-hmm.
Just, no.
Yeah, it was great. If you watch the show, if you love the show, if you paid attention to the show, it was the natural end.
Yeah. Other great shows we were going to be talking about is Futurama.
Oh, Futurama was great.
Which had multiple series finales.
Yes. But you do have a really good alternate ending for that show of what they of an ending they could have given it that would have made a lot of sense. Because the way the show ended and its final ending. The last time it ended was Fry and Leela get trapped in like a time freeze.
Because he proposes and he thinks that she's going to turn him down, and so he decides to jump off the building, but he has this thing that can revert back 10 seconds, the 10-second time travel thing.
Mm-hmm.
But the fall from the top of the building to the bottom is 11 seconds.
Yeah.
And so he keeps looping back 10 seconds, and he can't, and so he's either in a constant loop or he's going to die.
Mm-hmm.
And so he ends up falling on the button. It freezes time. The only one that's not affected, because she was in the bubble area with him, was Leela.
Mm-hmm.
So Leela and Fry go on to live their entire lives into old age while everyone else is frozen. Time is done.
Mm-hmm.
The professor was able to find a way to search for them. So he's been searching for them for like an hour in his time.
Right.
And
in a lifetime of theirs.
Yeah, in their lifetime. And he gives them the opportunity to go back and live it again. And that's where it ends. And it's a beautiful ending. It's a very symbolic, very gorgeous, heartfelt ending. And mm-hmm. I get that. My opinion is that Futurama would have been the only show, I think, in history that a dream sequence would have been the perfect ending for that show.
Absolutely.
Now, you got to follow my logic on this. The story takes place in the year 3000, and then it goes all the way to the year 3000, I believe, 16 or 15 or something like that.
Yeah.
So as the show ages, so does the year. So whatever year you're in the year 2000, so 2010, it's 3010.
Yeah, so it's 1,000 years in the future at any point.
Every story seems to have celebrities that always come from our current time.
Uh-huh.
That's always referencing. They don't really reference a lot of stuff between now and then.
Right.
And so my thing was is that when he fell into the cryogenic chamber at the beginning of the series, it actually only knocked him out and put him into a coma. And in the dream sequence, he's actually in a coma. And so, like, the nurse that he's... And he can hear the outside world. So the nurse is actually Leela, is his nurse. Like, you know, you got Scruffy the janitor. You've got the superintendent of the hospital, or whatever you call that. Basically, the accountant.
The administrator.
Yeah, is Hermes. You've got the head doctor, is the professor.
Zoidberg.
Yeah, Dr. Zoidberg. You've got... So all the characters are actually people in the hospital where he's in a coma, and he has a TV running in his room. So that's why he has all of the celebrities that he's referencing are all from the current time.
Mm-hmm.
And it all takes place in a 3000 version of the year 2000 version he's in.
Yeah. I may be a little biased because we're married, but I think that's a beautiful idea. Like, that's great. And this Futurama is such an amazing show. And, you know, Simpsons gets all the glory, but I think Futurama is a much, much better show. The writing on Futurama is amazing. And they have twists that come out seasons and seasons in that they planted in the pilot episode.
Oh, yeah.
Like, in the pilot, when he falls into that cryogenic chamber, you can see Nibbler,
mm-hmm.
who doesn't come in for how many seasons?
Like two, I think. Yeah, something like that, yeah.
I mean, the preparation for the show is amazing. And the fact that they have a whole hidden language
mm-hmm.
in the show, the alien language, that you can actually decipher.
Mm-hmm.
It's brilliant. And the writing on it, I mean, Futurama is one of the shows that makes me cry the most. because its episodes are so heartbreaking and so touching.
Oh, one of the worst. Yes, there's like two in the original run, mm-hmm. which is Seymour, his dog.
His dog. Oh.
The dog episode will get you crying every time. And the luck of the Fryish, which is his brother takes over all of his luck by stealing his seven-leaf clover, or that's what he thinks.
Mm-hmm.
And so he goes to steal it from his brother who stole his identity as Philip J. Fry. He's like, I'm Philip J. Fry, not Yancey, who's his brother Yancey. Turns out that his brother missed him because he was missing. And so he named his son after his uncle. And that kid went on to do so many great things. And, when he digs up that and realizes that it's his nephew, if you don't cry, you're just not human.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the directed DVD movies that they did, which is great. The one where the aliens come over and they're like Ponzi scheme aliens.
Right.
And it goes backwards and forwards in time and you see what happens and Lars.
Lars, yeah. Lars, who turns out to be Fry from like a different timeline, and Leela falls in love with him. And you realize that she's supposed to be with Fry because Lars is the best version of Fry he can be, because he's gone through so much and he's learned so much and he knows what Leela is worth and he treats her accordingly when the younger Fry kind of doesn't really get there. But
Futurama is one of the most underrated shows ever.
It's an amazing show.
Yeah, and there's a reason why it kept coming back and it was still good every time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, it's one of those shows that, yeah, cancellation did nothing to that show.
Mm-mm.
They came back bolder and stronger than ever.
So, again, not a bad finale. I just would have preferred it to be the other way.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas with other shows, which are just terrible.
Oh, we'll get into some bad finales.
Well, the show's good. Bad finales. One of the worst we'll talk about, we'll take a break and we'll talk about this one in depth, is Dexter.
Yes.
The TV show Dexter.
Ugh. Such a disappointing finale.
Oh, that was so bad.
Such a good show. Dexter is an amazing show.
So the finale, we'll say this before we take the break. The finale is so bad, it almost ruins the entire series.
Uh-huh, yeah.
So we'll get into that. Stick around. We're going to take a break and we'll be right back. You're listening to We're a Little Behind on KCNR 1460 AM.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Tobacco and Brew has been a sponsor here on KCNR 1460 since we started the station 8 years ago. A long-standing Reading tradition, Tobacco and Brew is locally owned, backs our veterans, and does so much more for this community. It's located at 2143 Hilltop Drive. Check out their new lines, new products, new briar pipes, and of course, the famous walk-in humidor. Come in and see the newly remodeled Tobacco and Brew. 2143 Hilltop Drive, open 7 days a week.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction with your security tip of the day. If it doesn't look right, it probably isn't. Many people hang around to investigate what may be a crime only to become a victim themselves because they confront a violent criminal. Leave the area and call your local law enforcement agency immediately. Another important part of your personal protection plan may be the use of a firearm. If that's your choice, give NFI a call at 999-1822 or find and register for one of our popular CCW courses at usgunpro.com. Remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard to find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
And now, back to our show.
Welcome back to We're a Little Behind. I'm Jen Gomez.
And I'm Chris Gomez.
And today we're talking about series finales.
And my poor wife is a little ill. You might be able to hear that plugged sound coming
so
from her.
You might want to put some Purell on your radio there so they don't catch my germs over the airwaves.
Exactly.
So the next show we're going to talk about is Dexter. Oh. And Dexter is a great show. And you actually introduced me to Dexter.
Yeah.
And I watched it. I didn't watch it live on the air. I watched it all on DVD.
Except until because we watched the last season.
Oh, that's true. We did watch the last season together.
Mm-hmm.
So I caught up on it on DVD because I was a little behind. And so if you haven't seen it, Dexter is a show about... So Dexter is the main character, mm-hmm. played wonderfully by Michael C. Hall.
Mm-hmm.
And Dexter is a psychopath. And he has...
He's a serial killer.
He's a serial killer. He has these murderous tendencies. But he is adopted by a police officer who sees this in him at a young age. You know, the old adage, you know, the child who kills animals is, you know, on the path of being a psychopath. So he sees this in his adopted son, and he uses it for good. So he teaches him a code in which you can go ahead and murder people, but you have to murder the right people. So he grows up and he works in a crime lab with the police department.
Yeah, he's a forensics guy.
He's a forensics guy. So he goes after the people that may slip through the cracks with the police. So he only kills murderers, rapists,
child molesters.
He kills the bottom of the barrel people,
mm-hmm.
and then has to cover it up. So he has a kill room. He covers everything in plastic wrap and plastic bags. He tells the person why they are dying. He has pictures of their victims up.
He fakes emotion.
Yeah, he fakes
emotion.
Because
he literally has no emotion, because that's why he's a serial killer. And that plays into the fact that he gets married to this woman named Rita, who's wonderful. Through the course of the series, she's murdered by another serial killer.
Which is funny, because the series is based on a series of books that was still being written even after the show started airing. And when Rita is murdered in the TV show, very similar to the way Dexter's mother was murdered. And so Dexter's child with Rita goes through the same thing he did. During that time, a lot of fans of the show were complaining to the author, why did you kill Rita? He's like, it's not my fault. She's still alive in the books. They only killed her in the show.
My Rita's still alive. Yeah, and the reason I bring that up, because it's going to play into the alternate ending from what I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
So the series goes on for, I believe, 7 seasons. It's really good. It has some highs, it has some lows. But
every season has a big bad.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a main person that Dexter is trying to go after while he kills all the small people to get it out of his system. Because he starts to get overly anxious if he doesn't kill people.
It's usually like other serial killers.
Yeah.
It's the most weirdest form of superhero ever.
It really is. He's very much the anti-hero.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're rooting for the serial killer, but he only kills bad people, so...
Yeah, it's a very moral questioning show.
But he always makes sure that they're guilty. Like, he investigates, and he doesn't kill on whims. He's very methodical, he plans everything out, and he always makes sure that there is sufficient evidence to say, yes, they're guilty.
So final season happens. The final season is bad.
Mm-hmm.
The series finale is horrifically bad.
All the characters do a complete 180 from their regular character motives and activities.
Yeah, it was like they were like, oh, this is the final season, we don't care anymore. It was just bad. And so there, in the final episode, there's a hurricane, because there it takes place in Florida.
In Miami.
In Miami. And there's a hurricane. His sister, who his adoptive sister, who he was raised with, she's a cop, and he's the forensics. She finds out that what he is after in it, like, way into the series.
After deciding that she's in love with him, which gets super weird.
They really dropped that quickly, though.
They really did. Maybe they were trying to capitalize on the fact that Jennifer Carpenter, who played Deborah, and Michael C. Hall were married.
Right.
And playing brother-sister, which is weird. But then they're like, oh,
but then
but
they go through a divorce in real life,
yeah,
during the course of the show.
That's awkward.
Right? That is some professional acting right there.
Yeah,
because he even had cancer during that time. Like, the personal lives of the actors during the show trumped almost anything that was going on in that show.
Right? So, yeah, they're like trying to play it off like, oh, well, they're adopted brother and sister. They're not really related.
Yeah,
no,
but they got...
You were raised together. That's still weird.
They dropped it quickly.
I think they realized that the fans were starting to turn, because then you just don't do that.
We're getting to the series finale. Deb is, I believe, shot, right? And so she is in a coma.
Mm-hmm. In the hospital.
In the hospital. During the hurricane, Dexter decides that the only humane way, because she's brain dead, is to kill her. It's the only time that he's killed, to feed his own urges. It's like a mercy and it's Deb. It's a symbolic thing.
Right, and she doesn't fit his code.
Right. So during this last season, he's in love with this other serial killer lady who poisons people. And he's raising his son because Rita's first two kids are living with the grandparents. Because Dexter his son is separate from the other two kids. And so I'm giving you these bits and pieces to lead up to the ending. So he takes her body after he's killed her, and he walks her out of the hospital during the chaos of the hurricane, gets into his boat, and drives his boat into the hurricane.
Mm. And that's usually how he disposes of the body. He cuts them up and then drops them out in the ocean.
Next thing you know, there's a newspaper headline that just says that he's missing in the hurricane and presumed dead. And you see that his son is in Paris with the serial killer woman he was in love with. And then it, like, changes scenes to these lumberjacks, and inside the lumberjack trailer is a very grizzled, bearded Dexter. He didn't die.
Yeah.
He's just in hiding in Oregon.
Because he got to leave the...
End of series.
Because he got to leave the door open for a sequel.
And that's what they said. They were... And I'm like, no. This was terrible. So, first of all of his friends are cops.
Mm-hmm.
His nanny that took care of the... Of his kid was the cop's sister.
Mm-hmm.
No one questions where the kid is.
Yeah, no.
No one questioned this? No one knows. So he's presumed out in a boat and gone because they found wreckage of his boat. That's in the paper headline because of the wreckage of the boat, they perceived him to be dead.
Even though all the other boats in the marina are also destroyed.
Yeah. It's a boat in a hurricane.
Yeah.
Gone.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Yeah. No one questions Deb's body is gone.
Nope, no one questions that. So all of this, cops, no, we're not going to ask questions.
Right.
That's just how they ended. It was like they just gave up completely.
Mm-hmm.
So
all the characters, I mean, he would not have killed Deb.
No.
Even mercy killing, no.
I'm willing to let that go. Because she, and her, she was in love at this point with Quinn, who was another cop in the force.
Mm-hmm.
And he knew there was something weird about Dexter. They just dropped that, too.
Yeah.
Like, just gone. Like, they just, it's like they were like, oh, wait, we only have this many episodes? Well, we had about three more that we were planning, but now we're just going to quit here. Like, terrible. It literally, because of how they ended it, it ruined almost the entire series.
It really did.
They could have just ended it. Let's say that, so now my ending is they would have, let's say that they just kept everything as is, even though it was a terrible final season. But he would have mercy killed her, and I think he would have, instead of leaving and going out of the boat, he leaves the hospital. Quinn shows up. All the cops are there to arrest him, not for killing Deborah, but for killing the psychologist's the psychologist's son that was also a serial killer. There's a lot of serial killers in Miami.
There's a lot of killers in Miami. Don't go to Miami.
So they're there to arrest him. Quinn goes up, sees that he murdered Deb, and he goes and he chases down Dexter. He shoots and kills Dexter. Dexter is dead.
He really should have died.
That's my legit ending. Dexter is dead. Quinn shot him for killing Deborah. End of story. We flash forward. There's a guy, a young teenager, running through the woods covered in blood, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he just killed an animal, and he's kind of hovering over, and he's just standing over the animal that he killed. And next thing you know, it's Dexter in the same form as his cop father, who Harry, who was always... Because Harry, who is the cop father that adopted him, was always there in like a ghost form, and he was his conscience. In my opinion, it should have been that Dexter's son would have then become a serial killer, and Dexter would have then become his, like, conscience.
Right, his
Harry.
His Harry, yeah.
Yeah. And because what happened was his son would have went and lived with his brothers and sisters at Rita's parents' house. That way it explains where the kid ended up.
Yeah.
Not just with some random serial killer woman.
Mm-hmm.
It would explain where Dexter went and why they would have pursued him dead, because obviously he would have been shot by Quinn.
Mm-hmm.
And you can continue on with a new story, keeping it going with the same character if you want to come back to it later, and then you would explain how you would have a new series.
Yeah.
Writing.
Exactly. And then all of the characters would have stayed in character.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Sergeant Batista, like he was Dexter's friend, mm-hmm. and he was the
his sister was the nanny.
His sister was the nanny. He was the sergeant. He was the, you know, head detective. But no, we're not gonna investigate a death. We're just gonna say, oh, wrecked boat. Okay, he's probably dead. He was probably on the boat. How do they know he was on the boat?
Yeah.
Yeah. No. None
obviously,
of this makes sense.
Obviously, if he's in Oregon, they didn't find a body.
Right. Yeah. It just, the whole thing was infuriating.
Just horrific.
It really was.
It actually is the worst series finale I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm. However, there is so much good in the show before you get to that point.
If you want to stop at season 6 and just come up with whatever
call
ending
it
you
done.
Want,
call it
you
done.
Can call it done at season 6.
You really can.
Just don't do the final season. Because
mm-hmm.
it's a really great show. Especially season 1. Season 1 is wonderful.
It really is.
Like, you will get hooked on the show by season 1.
Mm-hmm.
Just stop at 6.
One of the best parts of Dexter is John Lithgow as the Trinity Killer.
Right, he's the one that kills Rita.
Yeah, and his performance in this series is amazing. So if you watch the series for nothing else, you have to watch that season.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Do you remember what season that was?
3, I believe.
3. John Lithgow is always this, you know, nice guy. And, well, actually, he's been playing a lot of villains lately.
He's always played a lot of villains.
Yeah, but to see him as a serial killer, oh, my gosh. It was so good.
Mm-hmm.
So good.
Yeah, absolutely. Another show that we absolutely loved that had a debatable series finale was The Office.
Yes.
Ah, the TV show The Office. We're not going to mm-hmm. get into the TV show The Office.
Just know, I'm rewatching it. It's my favorite show. I love it. I love it so much.
Yeah. That's your, like, How I Met Your Mother's Mind, yours is The Office.
Uh-huh.
It had a really good series finale, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people have said it's not. I don't agree.
The show really started to slack off in the last couple of seasons, you know.
It went 10 seasons, and I'd say 8 and 9 were the worst seasons. 10 started coming back around.
Yeah, Steve Carell left, and whenever the star of a show leaves, I just feel like you should just end the show.
Mm-hmm.
But it came back around in season 10. It got a little better, and I thought the finale was beautiful. You know, you had... So
the story of The Office, it's actually a documentary that's being filmed.
Right.
So the series finale takes place 1 year after the penultimate episode.
Right.
And it's a year later. They're all catching up because their documentary's finally been released.
Yes.
And so it catches up with what they're doing there. Actually, the final episode is the documentary filmmakers filming the DVD extras. Because what happened was, is the documentary aired. It was a huge hit on, like, PBS and other countries. And so they decided to put it on DVD. And so the final episode is them catching up with the Dunder Mifflin Office 1 year later.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. Yeah, I thought it was a great way to end that series. So you were able to catch up. It tied up a lot of loose ends that you wouldn't have wanted to leave open. And so it was... Yeah, I thought it was great.
Mm-hmm.
I felt closure from that episode.
Yeah, and it was really nice that in the last few episodes, you had Dwight and Angela's wedding, mm-hmm. and that actually did bring Steve Carell back.
Mm-hmm.
So Michael Scott returned to Scranton and was there for the wedding, but he didn't have any lines. He didn't say anything.
No, he did.
Oh, he said that's what she said. But
no, he talked. He had his own little confessional thing, and he had the part where he's showing off the phones to Pam, where he has three different phones.
Pam says that. Pam says he has three different phones. He doesn't say that.
He had more lines, though.
He didn't talk very much. Not as much as he usually does.
Well, yeah, not as much, because he wasn't the focal point of that episode.
Yeah. But,
Michael, I thought you weren't coming for me. That's what she said.
And that whole episode is one of my favorites, in that, you know, Jim has been pranking Dwight the entire series.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he plays pranks on him. And for his bachelor party, he decides, nope, we're going to make this all good pranks. And so he keeps doing these things to him all throughout the day that appear bad at first and then turn good. And it's just so beautiful. And the very last prank is that Jim is the best man. And Jim's like, well, I can't be your best man because the best man has to be older than the groom. Dwight's like, what? I've never heard that tradition. He's like, yeah, so I can't be your best man. But the good news is I found a replacement, and the replacement is Michael. And talking about
and
it gets me all teared up.
The Dwight is a good boss after all this
right?
was weird. But it worked. Like,
it is.
Whereas Dexter had the thing where everyone was out of character and it felt bad. This one, Dwight was still Dwight, but he was able to come through and be, and you could see where he was going to shine.
Yeah.
Because in this episode, Jim and Pam decide to do a different job.
Because Jim has a sports agency
mm-hmm.
side business that he started with Daryl.
Mm-hmm.
And it's finally starting to pick up, and he can't do both jobs anymore. And so they decide to uproot their family, them and their two kids, and move to, I think it's to Philly?
Something like that, yeah.
Something like that.
And so they go into Dwight's office, and they're going to quit. And so they're sitting at his desk, and they're like, Dwight, we need to tell you something. You know, this thing is starting to take a lot. Is it Athletes is going to take off?
Yeah, something like that.
Athletes is going to take off. And so we want to tell you, he's all, you're fired. Both of you, you're fired. They're like, oh, come on, don't do this. He's like, no. If you quit, you don't get severance. But if I fire you, you get like a month for every year you've worked here, which is 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh, and it was just like this really sweet moment where he makes sure that they were taken care of. I was like, oh.
Yeah.
This is really good, like, because he was total Dwight with his, you're fired.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and you're like, oh, okay. And he's like, come on, man, don't do this. And it was just so good.
Yeah. I just thought it was beautiful. It was so well written, and it just, you really felt
it made up for
these characters.
It made up for seasons 8 and 9.
Yeah, because those really slacked off, but it came around.
All right, so we're going to talk a little bit more about some other shows, but we're going to take a break right now. You're listening to We're a Little Behind on KCNR 1460 AM.
Spring is right around the corner. If you're looking for a change or just want to freshen up, Finders Keepers is your unique upscale home consignment boutique. Whether you're looking for a classic, contemporary, or modern-day style, Finders Keepers has quality, name brand, and interesting items. Specializing in home furnishings including wall art, kitchen, and home decor. Located at 2235 Hilltop Drive across from C.R. Gibbs and now open in Chico on the Skyway next to Batteries Plus. Shop online at finderskeepersreading.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kara Tennant with CARE Animal Hospital, and I'm inviting you to join me on the Carl and Linda Morning Show. We will be discussing all of Reading's local pet needs and how to keep your pet happy, healthy, and safe. CARE Animal Hospital is a local veterinary clinic located on the corner of Hilltop Drive and Lake Boulevard. Make sure your best friend has the best possible care today.
Join Dr. Kara Tennant on Friday morning, March 16th from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. on Free Fire Radio here on 1460 AM KCNR.
Alan Gordon here with Coachmaster Collision Repair. That's correct. As a new owner of Coachmaster, I'd like to thank Don Speck for his long commitment and dedication to the automotive collision business. For over 50 years, Coachmaster has been offering the highest standard in auto collision repair. If you had a vehicle repaired by Coachmaster in the last 20 years, then we've already met. Coachmaster will continue to offer the same personal service, quality-driven technicians, and pride in every job we do. We'll miss Don as an instructor at Shasta College, his public service, and many entertaining commercials over the years.
Coachmaster Collision Repair continues to be the leader in the North State for advanced technology in the collision repair industry. From laser and 3D frame alignment machines and computerized paint matching technology to qualified technicians working on your vehicle. Remember Coachmaster on Eastside Road in Reading.
And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is the place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the perfect fit of your favorite pair of jeans, the nap-inducing powers of your trusty recliner, and the tried and true performance of a new Rood home heating system. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance today, 530-221-2642. At Alliance Heating and Air, everybody calls us.
And now, back to our show.
Welcome back to We're a Little Behind. I'm Chris Gomez.
I'm Jen Gomez.
And today we're talking about series finales. Yes. And before we get back into it, we'd like to kind of plug a few things like we normally do. We have our show on the air on KCNR 1460 AM, but we also have it on our website, which is GomezCast.com. Mm-hmm. And you can see our little mascot, Walby.
Our mascot, Walby. And he likes to pop up in movie posters of movies that we talk about, so it's always fun and interesting to see where Walby will pop up.
Exactly. And we're also a part of Fantasy Movie League.
Yes.
So if you're not a part of this, you should totally do it because it's free.
And it's fun.
And it's fun. And it's easy. So what you do is you go on and get the app from the Google Play Store or the iTunes Store, and you can get Fantasy Movie League and join a league. We actually have our own league called We're a Little Behind. And it requires a code to get into, so once you want to join the league, the password is WALB.
We're a little behind.
Four letters, easy to remember. And what you do is you basically just pick that week's movies and you're gonna see how they're gonna do over the weekend. So new releases and pre-existing releases that have been out for a while, how they're going to do at the box office, how much money they make, is kind of like drafting your team. And so you just pick it, and you hope that your theater, your fake little theater, is your technically like your team in fantasy football, and the movies are like your players, and you just pick your players and hope that your team does the best.
It is fantasy football for movie nerds.
Exactly. So now, like I said, go to GomezCast.com. Check out our show. You can see hear all of our past episodes, all of them,
mm-hmm.
and links to all the stuff that we talk about.
Yep.
And now let's get back into what we were talking about, which is series finales.
Yes.
One of the big polarizing series finales is the Seinfeld series finale.
It is, yeah.
And people were really up in arms about how that ended, which was basically an hour-long episode where they didn't help a guy and they kind of made fun of him and it was caught on tape. And so they were arrested in this town where they have the town law is it's the bystander law.
It's the Good Samaritan law.
Yeah, the Good Samaritan law. Mm. And so what was a great way to do this is they used the entire hour pretty much to have an episode in trial. And all these minor characters that were in the show came back, so it was like a reunion episode, mm-hmm. because they were all character witnesses for the four main characters. And then, as it turns out, well, they were guilty, and they went to jail for a year. Done.
Yeah. So I wasn't a huge fan of Seinfeld. Mm-hmm. And not that I didn't like it, I just didn't really watch it regularly. And mm-hmm. I'd watch it now and then. And I actually really like the ending, because I've always thought that these are terrible, terrible people. They're bad people.
Well, it's been 20 years since the show ended.
Yeah.
And we were like 16 at the time.
Yeah.
So.
And so the fact that they got taken down by a Good Samaritan law, I think is hilarious. But you know what I think about when I think about the Seinfeld finale is actually it was an episode of Dharma and Greg because they wanted to get frisky in public. You know, that's something that Dharma really wanted to do. Greg didn't want to do it. But they decided to do it on the night of the Seinfeld finale because they figured everyone would be home watching TV.
That's funny.
And, I mean, things kept happening, and they kept having to change locations. And every time they would like, be running with holding things up to cover themselves, they'd play the Seinfeld, you know, baseline. And yeah. it was really funny. But that's my biggest memory from the Seinfeld finale. It was actually an episode of another show.
Awesome. Yeah. One of our favorite shows is Parks and Recreation,
mm-hmm.
which had a great, heartfelt, brilliantly written series finale.
Mm-hmm. So the main character, Leslie Knope, played by
Amy Poehler,
who I didn't like Amy Poehler until this show. Like, I never really liked her on SNL. I never really liked her movies, but she captured my heart as Leslie Knope. And so she's the main character of the show, and it shows in the future her touching all the people. Like, actually, it's not in the future. It's closer now, but she touches them to say goodbye, and, like, she just touches their arm or something, and it flash forwards into their future. And so you get to see how their story plays out.
Yeah.
And it was just so beautifully done.
Yeah.
It really was.
And it was to symbolize how she's touched people.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, so good.
It was so sweet.
Yeah. Now, I'm going to talk about a finale of a show that you have not seen.
I've seen some of them. I haven't watched consistently.
Yeah, and then you're going to tell me about one I have not seen.
Yes.
Yeah, so my pick is going to be Quantum Leap. I loved that show. The very quick synopsis. It's a guy who travels from, in his own lifetime, in different bodies, so he leaps into different bodies and changes the course of history. Series finale, he leaps into himself on the day he was born.
Wow.
But not as a baby. He's like in this limbo. And so everyone that he's kind of been in contact with and touched throughout the course of history is in this bar in this town that is like, it's kind of like limbo. And the bartender, it's possible that it's God. And so God tells him that he has the ability to either go home now or he's able to continue leaping. And the whole time he's been, throughout the course of the series, the only person he has to talk to from his own time is the hologram of Al. Not Owl, but Al.
Al.
It's, you know, A-L.
Mm-hmm.
In the whole series, Al is very much a woman's man. He's very promiscuous and everything. And as it turns out, it's because early on in his young career as in the military, he was captured. He was a POW, and his wife thought he was dead, and so she moved on.
Mm.
And so they never got to be together. In the future, where Sam leaps from, his body's still there. So when he leaps into somebody, they leap into him.
Oh.
So in the final episode, when he leaps into himself, and on the day he was born in this body, his body disappears from the future.
Wow.
So it's no longer him leaping into other bodies. He himself is now leaping through time.
Mm-hmm.
And he has the ability to either go back to home and just stop leaping or to go forward. And so he chooses to leap back to the day that Al's wife found out that he was murdered, or she thought he was killed in action. And he tells her that he has something important to tell her about Al. It then goes blank. Title cards come up, and it says that Al was found because she waited for him, and he's now been married for like 35 years. He's had 4 daughters, and the last sentence of it in the inscription then said that Dr. Samuel Beckett never returned home.
Wow.
And you're like, whoa. And so I've been waiting for, and there's been speculation of like return series, reboots, you know, to where like his daughter comes looking for him, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. I don't think it's necessary. I just think it was an amazing, mind-blowing series finale.
Yeah. Wow.
Because they didn't know, there was 2 different episodes. They didn't know whether or not this was how the series was going to end because it was a bubble show, and they didn't know whether they were going to come back for a 5th season or if they were going to end it. So they had filmed two different ones, and this is the one that they ended up going with.
Wow.
Because there was speculation that the fifth season, they're going to, like, really get kind of weird, because he never leapt into a baby, and he leapt into a chimp, but he never leapt into, like, dogs. So they're, like, wondering where they're going to go with it. So they had other ideas of where they could have went for this fifth season, but it never happened. So they pulled the plug, and they just made sure that they just incinerated the earth with this finale.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Really good.
So it only lasted four seasons?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I would have thought it was longer, because it's such an iconic show.
Yeah, I know. It was like 89 through 93.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's really interesting.
Oh, yeah. Very well acted. Really well written. I missed that show.
Mm-hmm.
But still great to watch in reruns.
Yeah. We would be remiss if we did not talk about the finale to end all finales.
Yeah.
So I watched the show, but I was way young. But I do remember...
I'm assuming in reruns.
Yes, in reruns.
Because the finale aired in 83.
Yes. But I would remember hearing the theme song for the show. My parents would be watching it in the living room, and I would sneak out of my bedroom, and I would sit in the hallway where they couldn't see me, and I'd watch it from the hallway. Because even as a wee lass, I was drawn to the television, and that's MASH.
MASH.
So
I did not watch the show.
I don't think
I have not seen the show.
Yeah, I haven't watched all the episodes, but I've watched a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, I work in television, and so I mean I know quite a bit about television, obviously.
Yes.
And MASH is the most watched episode of in television history. The finale. Yeah. The final episode of MASH is the most watched episode in television history.
Yes. According to an article in the New York Times from March 3rd of 1983, so right after it aired, they had an estimated total audience of 125 million people.
That's a lot of people.
That is a lot of people.
And isn't there like a Nielsen?
Yeah, the Nielsen rating was a 60.3 rating with a 77 share. Now, you are a television person. What does that mean?
So, 77 share means that of all the televisions that exist in the world type of thing, I don't know if Nielsen is just America or if it's in the world, but it's 77% of all televisions that they monitor were watching that.
Wow.
And 60 points is just huge, because that breaks it down to, like, what its value is. And that, like, Super Bowls get, like, 23, 27. Sometimes you can get as high as like 43, like Academy Awards sometimes pulls huge numbers because of like maybe celebrities died and so they want to watch the In Memoriam. There's difference, yeah. But that's a huge number. And even if you were to break down that number to today's numbers and how many televisions there are, that is huge.
Mm-hmm.
One of the reasons I think also is because there weren't as many options in 1983. Now with cable and satellite and, you know, everything from Hulu and YouTube's, everything, you're stretching the audience. Like, share right now is anywhere, like, you know, you're lucky if you get a 3 rating on a primetime show.
Wow.
Sevens are huge.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, to get 60, so, like, a Modern Family on ABC can get, like, in its heyday would get, like, a 7.
Mm-hmm.
60 is insane.
Well, as a comparison, our article talks about how the previous record holder for audience was the 82 Super Bowl, also on CBS, that had 110 million viewers. So that had a lot. Final episode of Roots, which was a huge success on ABC, in 1977 was 99 million viewers. And that's so many people. But it was talking about for a show for the rating and the share, the previous record holder was Who Shot JR on Dallas. And that was in 1980. It had a 53.3 rating and a 76 share.
And again, this is because you don't have as many options back then. Like you're never going to see numbers like this again.
Yeah.
You won't. You just won't. I mean, you would probably have to have the second coming of Christ televised to get numbers like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's because with so many options, you're just splitting the focus, and so everyone's got their own taste. And, I mean, you're going to have people who focus in on like, Super Bowls, Academy Awards. But to find a number that large, you're never going to have it again. So I think it's a record that's going to hold for a very long time.
Absolutely.
Well, that pretty much covers all of the series finales we wanted to talk about.
Uh-huh.
We figured, you know, we're always saying that we're a little behind, but we rarely say how we're ahead of things, like
right.
we did with Black Panther. And we saw another movie this weekend that we really liked. So we thought, you know what, we're gonna be ahead of some things. We're going to give like a movie review of something that we saw new.
Yep.
And we went and saw the movie Game Night.
Oh, it was so good.
And that we saw that on Sunday when it came out.
Uh-huh.
So good.
So good. The trailers for this movie looked amazing. It was really super awesome to see it because it exceeded expectation.
Oh, way exceeded expectation.
Yeah. We actually took our game night group because we have a group that does game nights a lot. And we went as a group to see it, and it was just amazing.
It was super funny. Well written, too.
Super well written, and what was also really cool about it, it had some really awesome camera effects.
Yeah.
And, like, camera movement and motion, and it was a really impressive movie.
Yeah, that's what really impresses me in movies, is when they have camera angles that are different and unique. And I also like the score, too. The,
uh-huh.
the sound of it.
Yeah.
All of it was really good. Well acted. There's a lot of good people in that one. I mean...
Yeah. The main main stars, Jason Bateman and Rachel McAdams, are adorable.
So great.
Yeah, they're great together.
Chelsea Peretti has a small cameo in it.
A very pregnant Chelsea Peretti.
With Jordan Peele's baby.
With Jordan Peele's baby, yeah.
Because they were married recently. And Michael C. Hall's in it.
Yes.
Dexter himself that we were talking about
Mr.
earlier.
Mr. Dexter, yeah, absolutely. One of the great actors from New Girl. Oh, what was his character? Oh, Lamar Morris is
yeah.
in it, and he plays, what's his name on New Girl?
Winston
on New Girl. And he's great on that show. And he was just as amazing in this movie. He has some of the best lines.
Oh, yeah, he definitely has the best lines. His dialogue, he got the best line of them all. And, I mean, I'm not going to ruin anything other than his dialogue has the best line, and it was, man, glass tables be acting weird tonight. Loved it.
Great line.
I think I broke down when that came up, and if you go and see it, which you should,
mm-hmm.
you'll laugh too. It was really fun.
It was. It's also got Jesse Plemons, which is distracting in how much he looks like Matt Damon.
Oh, a lot like Matt Damon.
The first time we saw this guy was in Black Mass, which was a really good movie with Johnny Depp. And we kept thinking, is that Matt Damon in prosthetics?
Because it's like, a lot like him, but he's got, like, deeper, more
defined features.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I described him as the personification of a sketch artist's rendition of Matt Damon.
That is an astute...
Right?
Yeah, that's an astute way to say that. Yeah.
But go see Game Night. It was awesome.
It was really fun.
It was so much better than I was expecting it to be. And I expected it to be good because the trailers made it look really funny.
Now, I have a feeling if this gets popular enough that it will get a sequel, unfortunately.
I really don't want it to happen.
Because
it'd be one and done.
The movie itself reminded me of The Hangover.
Yeah.
The first Hangover. It's not as crude and not as crass at all. But it's that same type of, we're in a big predicament kind of comedy.
Yeah.
And I'm a little worried that they're going to take it again to a sequel and then they're going to just rehash old stuff.
Yeah.
It's nice to see a new and unique comedy that's, like Kevin said, it's not based on anything. It's not a reboot. It's not a sequel. It's not anything of those.
Yeah.
And it doesn't fall in any of those categories.
It was fresh. It was new.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it was really, really good. And if you do go see it, make sure you stay through the credits.
To the very end. Like
because
after credits.
Almost the whole theater left. And we were kind of standing up. We were getting close to leaving. Because there's there's an after end scene that kind of looks like it could be an early end of credit scene, but we stuck it out. I like to give respect to the people who made the movie. So I like to, you know, watch the credits. I'm weird like that. So we're sitting there watching the credits, and it paid off.
Definitely.
Stay and watch the end credit.
So that is our review of Game Night. Go see it.
A+. 5 stars. Whatever your scale is, top notch.
Well, that does it for our show. Again, we won't be here next week.
Right.
But we will be in 2 weeks.
Yep.
And we hope you will have a nice Oscar night because we are going to be decked out. And we should put a few pictures of our party on the our website. Yeah.
We will.
So people can see what we do.
That's right.
And so, yeah, I hope you enjoyed this episode about series finales on what is not our series finale.
And be sure to visit us at www.gomezcast.com.
Absolutely. You've been listening to We're a Little Behind.
Good night.
At Orchard Nutrition Center, we strive to be the gatekeepers of 100% organically grown produce. Our goal is to provide you and your family with produce that is fresh from the farm and pure 100% organically grown. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
Real people, real winners. Experience the thrill of yelling bingo and play at Wind River Resort and Casino. Don't miss our paper-only night every Monday. $200 drawings every session. Rock and roll bingo and $10,000 progressive bingo. At the end of the month, one lucky winner will win a four-night Baja cruise for two in our Putting for Paradise drawing. Earn drawing tickets all month long. Receive free tickets on triple ticket Tuesdays. Don't miss our $500 midweek drawing every month. Ask about Bingo's give-back promotion and special drawings every session. So grab your friends and play bingo at Wind River Resort and Casino. If you don't like to dob, let the machine do the work for you. Pre-sales available. Machines only, hands-free. Who says you can't win them all? Play bingo. Win a four-night Baja cruise for two in our Putting for Paradise drawing. You only have to be 18 to play. Check out our bingo calendar and download the Wind River app on Google Play or the Apple Store. Bingo calendar subject to change. It's playtime all the time. Wind River. At Wind River Resort and Casino.
At Orchard Nutrition Center, we keep our produce pure by bathing our fruits and vegetables with water from our multi-stage purification system, leaving it fresh, clean, and crisp. Fresh from the farm to your family's table. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
The news is brought to you on KCNR Shasta, Reading by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Reading. Tobacco and Brew, open 7 days a week.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Keith Peters. Governor Rick Scott says his goal is to make sure the school shooting that left 17 dead in Florida earlier this month is the last one the state ever experiences. Scott met with officials Tuesday in Miami-Dade County, where he outlined his plans to get a school safety bill passed before Florida's annual legislative session ends next Friday. Scott says he wants to spend $500 million to increase law enforcement and mental health counselors at schools to make buildings more